All right, the final lap around the track here on First Up for this Tuesday morning. Hour number four, Karolnik and Koliakovo with you. The San Francisco 49ers, a 24-9 win over the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams last night. Very impressive from Deebo Samuel from the San Fran defense. Let's bring him in, Brad Spielberger from PFF, Pro Football Focus, their salary cap analyst. He's a Tulane law alum. Maybe we got some legal questions for him, Coco. Let's find out. Let's bring him in. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're good. Thank you for taking the time. I want to begin, though, with Pro Football Focus's rankings of quarterbacks through 4 weeks. And I imagine you don't have a direct influence on this. It's solely your call, obviously. There's a lot of contributors at PFF. But if you don't know who number one is on the list of PFF's quarterbacks through 4 weeks, the answer is Geno Smith.
Geno
is number one. He's had a great year. I don't dispute that. But number one, Brad, fill us in. What's the deal there?
Yeah, you know, a small sample size, still only four games, and they have played some bad defenses. The Lions defense is obviously historically bad so far this year, and that was their last opponent. But he really has been that good. And if you break it down into different segments of quarterback play, he's been great against pressure, great when there's a clean pocket, great on play action, great when you remove play action and screen. So only looking at downfield passing, he's kind of been very good at everything. And then, you know, make some plays with his legs at times as well. So, the stats do back it up, and everything he's done so far has backed it up. I maybe wouldn't bet it stays that way for the full season, but he's been great.
So when you're talking about Geno Smith, he's obviously going to be linked with the Russell Wilson departure from Seattle. And Russell Wilson has looked, he's probably got to be in the bottom of those rankings, AK, that you just mentioned.
Dead
but
last.
How do you evaluate that sort of transition with Seattle? You know, there was a lot of talk about Russ not being happy. He wanted to cook, finally gets his chance to do it in Denver, and he's definitely not cooking anything there. But is there more to the story of, you know, Russell Wilson just finally declining in his career and Geno Smith just reveling in the moment that he's getting right now?
Yeah, he is certainly not cooking up anything too tasty right now in Denver. And it is, you know, I think some vindication for Pete Carroll and Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator in Seattle. Look, Russ is very good at what he's very good at, which is kind of dancing around in the pocket, creating plays and throwing the ball downfield and these splash chunk plays down the sidelines. But for a couple of reasons, that's just not really a sustainable way to produce in today's NFL. First of all, he's just not really dancing around as much. Maybe the age is catching up to him a little bit, or he just feels less comfortable doing so. But B, because the reason why scoring is down and why offense has not been as good this year is because so many teams now are playing more and more too high safety shells, which basically just means there are two guys back, they're guarding down the sidelines, and the middle of the field is open. And historically, Russ just does not target the middle of the field. He likes to throw to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett along the sideline. Defenses are taking that away, and it's a killer for him and what he likes to do.
Our guest is Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. Let's look back at last night's game, Monday Night Football, the Niners beating the Rams 24-9. Niners defense looked incredible last night, Brad, and Deebo Samuel had another remarkable performance as well. If I had to ask you right now through 4 weeks between San Fran and L.A., who the more legit Super Bowl contender is, who would you select?
You know, even after last night's result, I probably still would go with the L.A. Rams. So Kyle Shanahan has had Sean McVay's number since McVay left his coaching staff. The only loss Shanahan ever has is last year in that NFC Championship game. And if, you know, Jacquiski Tartt catches that interception that bounced off his hands, we're probably talking about him never losing to McVay and making another Super Bowl with San Francisco. But all that said, you know, as good as San Francisco is, it's their front four. They have our highest pressure percentage on opposing quarterbacks and our highest pressure percentage when not blitzing. So they're able to get home with just four rushers, and that is how you beat the Rams, because Matt Stafford is our highest graded quarterback against the blitz. He does very well when he needs to get the ball out of his hands quickly, but if you don't have to blitz and you can still get in his pocket very quickly, and they have a porous offensive line right now in L.A., that kills him. But long term, I think the Rams are a better football team. I think they will figure some things out. get healthier along the offensive line, get Allen Robinson more involved in this offense. So I think they'll get there in time. But as of today, it's definitely the San Francisco 49ers.
Your Pro Football Focus has an article about Jalen Hurts and him emerging into the NFL's one of their top quarterbacks. How do you guys evaluate Jalen Hurts' ceiling and potential of how great he can be, or is this just too small of a sample size right now?
It's still a bit early, but, you know, we have a decent amount now at this point. It's obviously his third season, and, you know, we're seeing what he can do. He's always had a good offensive line. They're now really good and healthy, but I think the big thing was the weapons, where he really did not have a great receiving core until this season. Even last year with a top-10 pick in former Heisman winner Devontae Smith, him as a rookie, you know, hard to hold, you know, Hurts that, you know, he should be able to produce right away with a rookie wide receiver. Now you trade for A.J. Brown, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. It also takes a lot of attention away from Devontae Smith and tight end Dallas Goedert. You know, Hurts has taken that step. He is a better pocket passer. He is not just a runner, even as good as he is with his legs. He is sitting back there, finding the open guy, throwing to every part of the field. I think the ceiling may be a little bit capped just based on, you know, arm strength and things like that. But in terms of his processing, his ability, he is a top 10 NFL quarterback so far this season comfortably and could probably stay in that echelon for some time.
Brad, let's stay within the division in the NFC East because there's going to be a controversy brewing in Dallas, and I think Jerry Jones is just loving this because he loves the attention on his Cowboys. But Cooper Rush, 4-0 as a starter in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys have looked like a completely different team with him under center. What do you do when Dak Prescott comes back if Cooper Rush has yet to lose a game?
Yeah, so I know owner Jerry Jones does love to just stir up some narratives and get everyone talking about the Dallas Cowboys, but I think this one's a little bit far-fetched, a little crazy. Look, credit to Rush, he has been good. He's our highest-graded passer on play action, so they're scheming up a lot of things easily for him, getting guys open and letting him just complete the simple throws. He has our third-best grade on intermediate passes between 10 and 19 yards downfield. So he has been good. But look, Dak Prescott is a top-10 quarterback in this league, is a very, very, very good player, a true difference maker that can elevate the offense around him. I totally get the question. I mean, it's hard to say, hey, thanks for winning all those football games against some good competition, but now we're going to put you back on the bench. But make no mistake, Dak Prescott is a significantly better player than Cooper Rush.
Brad Spielberger, again, our guest from Pro Football Focus. We closed the door on week 4 last night with the Niners and Rams, and we look ahead to a thrilling Thursday night football game between the Colts and the Broncos. Okay, I'm not that excited for it. We talked earlier, Brad, about how
disappointing teams.
I said Denver was my most disappointing team through 4 weeks. Carlos said the Colts were his, and now they go head-to-head on Thursday night. Denver losing Javonte Williams, their stud running back for the season, with an ACL. Which team do you think is more likely to turn it around? You could look at it in a couple of ways. I mean, the Colts, their division's a lot weaker than Denver's, but Denver, I guess, is a better team in totality. How do you look at these two teams and their trajectory for the rest of the season?
Yeah, well, I think you both nailed it. I think they are easily the two most disappointing teams, so far this season. Thursday will certainly be interesting. No Javonte Williams. Not sure if Jonathan Taylor, the star running back for the Colts, will play either. Shaquille Leonard, their linebacker, not going to play in that game, coming off concussion. So both shorthanded coming into the game, not playing well. I think you also touched on it right there. I think Denver is probably a slightly better team, but the AFC West is probably the best division in football, and the AFC South is probably one of, if not the worst divisions in football for the Indianapolis Colts. So I think they have a better chance of kind of sneaking into the playoffs, maybe winning that division, even though they did just lose to the Tennessee Titans, also lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars already this season. But for that reason alone, I think they have a higher possibility of sneaking into the playoffs. But Denver, probably a slightly better team. They're favored by a field goal in this game on Thursday, and I think it's probably a fair kind of indication of where they're both at. Both not particularly great teams right now.
Brad, you used to work in the legal department for the Minnesota Vikings. Any stories you could tell us about your time there? Any fun interactions with anyone that may be intriguing to Carlo or I? Just putting you on the spot. Just curious.
Yeah, I'm mostly sworn to secrecy, but it was a couple of years ago now, but a lot of the same players are there. Kirk Cousins, I got a chance to meet him very, very briefly. I would say this, it may be kind of a funny story. He kicked us out of a room where we're having a meeting in this boardroom, and we hear a little rap on the window, and it's Kirk Cousins just looking through the window, and he actually had ordered the room, he had reserved the room. It was his weekly Wednesday Bible study. It was on the docket. It was, you know, everything was, all the boxes were checked, and he was very nice about it, but also a little bit ticked off that we would, you know, not recognize the schedule. These damn lawyers kind of taking his room that he had, you know, had booked well in advance.
You like that?
And he yelled. You like that? Yeah, that was low hanging fruit for us, Coach.
You like that?
Brad,
there
it is. Brad, thank you so much for doing this. Great to have you on the show. Let's do it again sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Brad Spielberg. Great handle as well from Pro Football Focus, their salary cap analyst.